Rambam writes, Moshe Rabbeinu. How do we know that what he told us is true? How do we know? Says the Rambam. And on a certain level, this is one of the Gimel Ikrim. They didn't believe in him because of all the miracles, because of all the miracles he performed. Why is the Rambam saying this? There's a halach in Rambam that if a Navi comes along and tells you Hashem changed his mind, Hashem used to think, he used to pasken that something was treif, but now it's really kosher. Times have changed. The halacha is off of his head. He's a Navi Sheker, we kill him. Why? Why is that? Because the Torah says so. Torah says, if a Navi comes along and tells you, Hashem said to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, that's the first thing. Kill him. The Torah said this is it. Not going to change. How do we know the Torah said that? Because Moshe taught us it. Now all we got were the Ten Commandments. And even there are the only two that we heard directly. Everything else we got from Moshe Rabbeinu. So the halacha, it said, the halacha that we were makabel, this is what we got from Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that if a Navi comes and tries to change things, then you know he's a Navi Shek. But we know that because Moshe told us. Why do you trust Moshe more than this other Navi? What if this Navi is Eliyahu Navi? What if Eliyahu HaNavi comes and says, you know, Hashem changed his mind. True, it was written in the Chumash, he changed his mind. But he said he wouldn't. Tell us what Moshe said. I heard differently. By the way, just to get a little Hilchus Nevuah straight, the halacha is that if a Navi comes and says that Hashem said to make an exception, a one-time exception, the halacha is that you can listen to him. Provided that it is not idolatry. That's the one thing that he couldn't even tell you as a one-time exception. But if he comes and says that the halacha was changed altogether, off with his head. So the Rambam explains, every other Navi we believe in, we trust, there's a halacha of how you prove yourself as a Navi. The Pasuk says, he gives you an oath, he gives you a sign, it happens, you trust him. Moshe Rabbeinu lo heminu lo mipnei ha'osos. That's not why we believe in Moshe. And the Rambam goes on and describes what happened at Kabbalah HaTorah. We heard it. We heard when Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Vato po amodi modi. Everyone else go home, you come stay here for 40 days. We heard that. And the truth is that the Rambam got this from the pasuk that says, "V'gam b'choy aminu li'olam." They will believe in you forever. Why am I giving this whole introduction? Because in this week's parsha, someone seems to have missed it. What happened to Korach and his followers? Their claim was that Moshe Rabbeinu made up the concept of kahuna. Needed jobs for the family. Makes up kahuna, makes Aaron the Kohen. and his kids. No such thing as kahuna. Kol ha'ida kulam kadoshim v'sochem Hashem. That which you taught us at Sinai in the name of Hashem was a lie. How's that possible? How could someone who was there, according to Rambam, the whole nation heard Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu to come up? How could someone think otherwise? He made it up. Hashem trusted him. Hashem made a mistake. Hashem vouches for him. And the pasuk says, "V'gam b'cho yaminu li'olam," forever. It is because of this that Klal Yisrael accepts Nevuas Moshe, which is Torah Shebiksav, on a whole different level than Torah Shebal Peh. Torah as opposed to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, the words of the other Nevi'im. The words of the other Nevi'im we also believe are from Hashem, but they're called Midrabbanan, Midivrei Kabbalah. They're not Doraisa. They're not Torah. They're not even Torah Shebal Peh. They're Drabbanan. You think Yeshayahu lied to us? No. But we never heard Hashem call Yeshayahu up there. We only heard Hashem call Moshe Rabbeinu up there. Nevuas Moshe, we can say with certainty, this is the Dvar Hashem. The Nevu of Yeshaya, the Pasuk says we are to accept Yeshayahu HaNavi as a Navi because his prophecies came true. That's a different level. That's not direct. So how is it Korach, who was present at Har Sinai, how could he doubt Moshe Rabbeinu? The Rambam goes on, and the truth is this is known as a difficult Rambam. The Rambam then asks, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu perform miracles? If he had no need to prove himself, unlike all the other prophets, Moshe Rabbeinu had no need to prove himself. Hashem established him as being true. Why did he perform miracles? Says the Rambam, the miracles of Moshe Rabbeinu were kafi hatzorach. They were done in accordance with the need. They weren't done for the sake of performing a miracle. They were done to take care of a situation. They were hungry, he made the man come down. They were thirsty, he got water out of the rock. That was not as a way of proving anything. We're hungry, we go buy food. When you're out in the desert, you're hungry, you ask Moshe, he brings the man down. So the Rambam gives the whole list of what Moshe Rabbeinu did, and then he adds one more thing. One of those miracles that Moshe performed only out of need, Kafrubo, they denied his authenticity. Vatiftach ha'oretz espiho. So Moshe Rabbeinu performed the miracle and the earth swallowed them up. Now one second here. The Rambam begins by saying they did not believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because of the miracles. The miracles were only to take care of needs. And what was one of these needs? When they denied him, he had the earth swallow them up. The pasuk reads, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "In Bria Yivra Hashem, if Hashem will come and create something new, then you know Hashem Shlochani. And if not, if they'll just die like everybody else, then you don't know Hashem Shlochani. You don't know Hashem sent." So he's proving himself by way of miracle. And the Rambam is telling us that that's not what he's doing. There's a contradiction. Kafrubo, they denied him. So he is proving himself by way of a miracle. How can you tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu never has to prove himself and the miracles were only to take care of needs? The answer we find in the words of Chazal in Pirkei Avos. When Chazal describe, they want to give an example of machlokes shelo l'shem shamayim, zu machlokes korach va'adasa. That is machlokes shelo l'shem shamayim. That's Korach's problem. Korach denied the authenticity of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Shebiksav, for that matter. He's doubting Moshe Rabbeinu's integrity. He's an apikoros. His problem is machlokes shelo l'shem shamayim. Chazal saw here something that a woman before them saw. The wife of Oun ben Peles. Chazal tell us, Chochmos Isha Bonsa Besa, the wisdom of the woman built the house. Who is this? This pasuk is referring to the wife of Oun ben Peles. Oun ben Peles was one of the leaders of Korah's gang then. So they tell us, Oun ben Peles comes home and his wife says, fool that you are. Why are you getting involved in this? What's the difference if Moshe is the leader and you're a sidekick? Or Korach is the leader and you're the sidekick? Let them fight it out and you stay out of it. That was her time. So it says, he tells her, you're right, but they're going to come and get me. I can't back out now. So she says, I'll take care of it. So it says she uncovered her head. Korach and his chevra, they were from Jews. There's a woman with uncovered hair sitting there. They wouldn't walk in. So they avoided the tent. Oun ben Peles didn't go with them. When the earth split and swallowed them up, Oun ben Peles was not there. She saved him. So there's something we don't understand. Korach had a philosophy here. Kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim of the socham Hashem. There is no need for leadership. We're all equal. Every Jew has equal opportunity. Every Jew can have a personal relationship with Hashem on the same level as every other one. We need no intermediaries. There is no hierarchy in the Jewish nation. We're all equal. If that was the philosophy, then what's Oun ben Peles' wife saying? Korach's going to be the leader and you'll be a nobody. Korach's not going to be the leader. Kol eda kulam kadoshim, they're all going to be equal. They'll all be equal. She saw through it. You think Korach is a philosopher? Sounds like a great movement. Yeah, equality. Like the communists running the Soviet Union. Yes, we share everything. That's everybody else. Except for the leadership. You've got a philosophy. But the philosophy is there only to back up your own personal ambition. And even though your own personal ambition runs contrary to your philosophy, it doesn't make a difference. You get yourself a following, you'll be a leader. And once you're a leader, you can do what you feel like. Chazal saw here, they see in Oun ben Peles' wife just what Korach was all about. His philosophy and his doubting Moshe Rabbeinu is rooted in one thing alone. He had no doubts. He was there. He heard what everyone else heard. He heard Moshe being called up. He saw Moshe being enveloped in a cloud. He saw it like everyone else did. But this sounds like a good philosophy. If you want to rebel, start a movement, and become a leader, Kol Eila Kulam Kadoshim. That sounds great. People are going to buy into this. It is nothing more than Machlokas Shelo L'Shem Shemayim. So when Rambam says Kafru Bo, referring to Korach, he doesn't mean Kafru Bo, they really didn't know if Moshe told the truth. Kafru Bo here means they did an act of denial. They denied because they doubted. Are you kidding? They knew the truth. But Kafru Bo, for practical reasons, they chose to announce that they doubted him. So Moshe Rabbeinu did something very practical. He had the ground swallow them up. Their doubting was superficial. It's a dangerous precedent, and it's important to make a point. But their doubting was superficial. It wasn't real. This is why, when at the end of the Parsha of Korach, we find a pasuk V'lo yiyecha Korach v'cha adoso. There shall not be like Korach and his following. The Rambam learns, it's a sipur dvarim, it is telling us there will never be like a Korach. Other Rishonim learn that this is a lav, it's a mitzvah losase, it's a commandment. And what is that commandment? Don't be like Korach. So what would you and I have said? Don't be like Korach. Don't doubt Moshe Rabbeinu. Nope. That's not the way they translate it. Lo yiyecha Korach v'chadoso. This is a lav, this is a negative commandment. We are prohibited from being machzik b'machlokas. Being machzik b'machlokas means you have an opportunity to bail out and you're pushing, maintaining disagreement. You can disagree. Maintaining it. Keeping a feud going. That's what they saw in Korach? You bet. Nothing else. Nothing deeper. Nothing fundamental. Don't be like Korach. Don't make machlokas. The particulars of what his philosophy was, that's all an answer, that's a tact, that's an excuse. He wasn't a doubter. How does this apply to us? I'm talking about us. Us, meaning people who don't walk around doubting Moshe Rabbeinu. We're convinced. That's not our thing. But among us who know of Moshe Rabbeinu, there are quite a few differences. There are different streams of ultra-orthodoxy. There are different philosophies. And there are disagreements. And you know something that's even valid? They're all coming from the same place, using the same rules. And Hashem created every one of us to think in a slightly different way. And certainly, collectively, we're going to end up forming different groups. And that isn't even ugly, it's beautiful. with one condition, that we can disagree but harmonize. When there's really a disagreement, when it's a matter of substance, you fight to the very end. We believe that you speak your mind. We believe that you argue it out. If you're really looking for truth, you don't settle it over a cup of tea. You work it through. And if at the end there's disagreement, it remains with disagreement. That has nothing to do with Korach. What is intolerable is when ideological differences are nothing other than a pretext for personal feud and personal ambition and personal dislike. Similarly, when what begins as an ideological disagreement turns into personal hatred, you got the same problem. Every time you disagree with your chavrusa, stop for a minute and ask yourself, maybe he's right. Am I refusing to take what he says seriously because he said it? When neighbors in the same community but subscribe to different movements that are close but different, when they can't get along, that's personal feud. That's lo yikakara fachad also. And then Rabbi Saul Salanter is famous as having added, when we take our personal disagreements and turn them into ideological ones, we know no limits. He used to joke, the Mishnah says that a machlokas l'shem shamayim stands forever. Literally, that means the machlokas hillel and shammai is recorded for all of eternity. Rabbi Saul Salanter used to joke, if we tell ourselves it's a machlokas l'shem shamayim, we tell ourselves it's an ideological one, we will never be able to make peace. He says when people hurt each other's feelings, comes Erev Yom Kippur, they shake hands. They dress their disagreements up in ideology. They never shake hands. Yom Kippur doesn't do a thing for them. The Gemara tells us that in the story of Chana and Penina, where Chana was childless, Penina had 7, the two wives of Elkanah, the Chiasato Soroso Gamkoas, Penina used to make fun of Chana. She used to say, see what I have? You don't have anything. You probably don't deserve it. So Chazal say, Penina l'shem shamayim niskavna. Penina did it for altruistic reasons. She did it because she felt that if Chana would cry hard enough, then Hashem would answer her prayers. She did it for Chana's sake. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zichrono Livracha, used to ask, how did Chazal know that Penina did it l'shem shamayim? And he would answer, to be so wicked, you can only do when you tell yourself it's l'shem shamayim. To be so wicked, so low, and take a woman who's deprived, who's down, and go give her further pain. You can't do that unless you're convinced it's for the sake of heaven. There's a lot of idealism in this room. The Yetzer Hara goes to town with idealists because they've got a lot of energy and they don't give up so fast. And these are the first people that the Yetzer Hara confuses. And has us start thinking of personal issues as ideological ones. Careful. This stuff is explosive. The way to tell is if you can sit down and have a friendly discussion, disagreeing to the death, and really feel that you love the person you're arguing with, you're all right. As soon as you start feeling hatred, as soon as you catch yourself not being so rational, as soon as you see that it's the adrenaline running much more than the brain really thinking things through, run. The way they put it is you should be boreach min ha-machlokes ke boreach min ha-esh. Machlokes is like fire. Run. Seems so ironic. Out in the world, people will usually sit down and work out their ideological differences, but will not work out their personal differences. It's very tempting. Jews are not like that. And we don't surrender when it comes to ideology. But because of that, we are so vulnerable. It is so easy for us to turn that into a pretext for personal feud. Be careful. Sure, we disagree. And what's with friends and family that we are sure are dead wrong ideologically? Are we to hate them? Kids go home and argue. You think you're going to convince somebody? If you can't have a good time together, then you have a lot of maturing to do. We can understand that people are dead wrong and love them anyway. This is Mefurish in Rambam. The Chavetz Chaim asks it as a question. The Rambam paskins, it's a Gemara in Tzachim, that if someone does an Aveira and doesn't do tshuva, there's a mitzvah to hate him. He is called a Rasha and there's a mitzvah to hate him. That's the Rambam in Halacha. The Rambam in his Yud Gimel Ikrim says, anyone that believes in the Yud Gimel Ikrim is not an apikoros. And if he's a sinner, he's a rasha. Nevertheless, the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha applies to him. It applies to Rishoyim and Tzadikim alike. So the Chavetz Chaim asks, how can I have a mitzvah of hating him and a mitzvah of loving him at the same time? And the answer is simple yet so difficult. We have to learn to despise of a lifestyle that is wrong and not compromise on our love for those people who live that way. It calls for a lot of maturity. Yeah, being a Jew calls for a lot of maturity, a lot of wisdom and a lot of understanding. That's what's expected of us. People are dead wrong. And yet, there are brothers and so lovable. And if you can make them feel that, you'll be doing them a greater service than by trying to argue and prove and think that you're going to convince. Because that kind of maturity is the greatest proof that we know what we're doing. You'll be able to show them better this way than in any other way. The greatness, the depth, and the honesty of Torah true Judaism. Intolerance of foreign ideas, and at the same time, acceptance and love and care.